Well, today we're beginning a four-week series called Soul Detox, and I think it's very significant for our church and really a great series to begin the year with. And I want to start off by saying, I submit today that we are not a body with a soul. We are a soul with a body. We're not a body with a soul. We are a soul with a body. I'm going to let that sink in for just a moment. I want you to think about that. We're not a body with a soul. We are a soul with a body. When we die, our body will be cremated or put in a casket or rot in the ground somewhere. But our soul will live on forever. Our soul is who we are. Our body is just it's kind of like the radio signal is there before the radio. You just have to have a radio transmitter to catch the signal. Our body is just a radio transmitter. The signal will live on. If you smash up this body, my soul will live on. We are a soul with a body. Genesis 2 verse 7 puts it like this. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Man did not become a living body. Man became a living soul. Now, why does this matter? What's the big deal? Well, a few months ago, my wife and I were traveling and we got into the airport late at night with our son and got to the rental car company, got our rental car, and the rental car reeked like smoke. I don't know if you've ever been in a car that reeked like smoke, but it just reeked like smoke. And you know how rental car companies are. They'll charge you for every little thing and they don't want you smoking in their car. So I pulled up to the thing and I said, ma'am, you got to smell this car. It reeks like smoke. We don't want to get charged for it. We don't smoke. And she came in, she goes, man, this car stinks. She goes, well, if you can give us a little bit of time, we'll get you another car. And it was late at night. We didn't want to wait. And so we said, listen, we can survive a couple days in this car. Just note that it reeks like smoke so we don't get charged for it. What we didn't know is when we got back to the hotel that night, we got out of the car, we reeked like smoke. I mean, it was all over us. Our clothes, our shirt. I mean, it was just, we stunk. And we weren't even smoking. I mean, we were just sitting in a car with secondhand smoke that somebody had smoked in before we were there. And we got out smelling like smoke. And I think oftentimes living in the culture that we live in, living in the world that we live in, that our soul is breathing in secondhand toxins from the world that we live in. Like we may not even be directly participating, but it's getting on us, the smell, the stench, it's kind of seeping into us and even altering what many people believe and think about Scripture and the Bible and the Lord. And we're just kind of getting these toxins that are just kind of polluting our soul. And so I think all of us, you know, or not all of us, but many people, they love to detox their physical bodies every year. I think we need to take some time and detox our soul this year and really deal with some of the toxins that have gotten into us. Next week, we're going to be talking about the heavy soul. Week number three, we're talking about the tortured soul. Week number four, we're talking about the seduced soul. But today I want to talk about the curse of the restless soul. The curse of the restless soul. Your soul just not finding rest. It's just restless. This is a curse that was pronounced on Cain. In Genesis chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 11, "Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." Cain killed his brother Abel. "When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." You'll be a restless wanderer. I think many people today have a restless soul. We're always searching, but we're never finding. We're interested in everything, but we're satisfied by nothing. We're not finding rest for our soul. Our mind just won't shut down. We have a hard time falling asleep. We wake up. Our mind is just always going. Our physical bodies may rest, but our soul is not finding any rest. It's constantly spinning. We're worried. We're anxious. We're stressed. We're concerned. We're busy. We've got so much going on that our soul is just not finding any rest. We just can't shut down. And we just left one of the busiest seasons of the year, the holiday season, when everything is just kind of thrown out the window. Our schedule, our life, our diet, our time at the gym, our time reading the Bible and praying. It's just busy. There's just one thing after another. That's why we do the 21 days in January. We want to give you an opportunity to refocus, to recalibrate, to kind of reset yourself for the year, to kind of clear away all the clutter and all the busyness, because the busyness will kill you. Busyness will destroy your life. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 22, so what do people get in this life for all their hard work and anxiety? Their days of labor are filled with pain and grief. Even at night, their minds cannot rest. Even at night, their minds cannot rest. I think if we were honest today, many of us would say that's exactly where I'm at right now. Even at night, my mind just it doesn't shut off. It's just always working. It's always spinning. It's revved up. I can't get it. I can't relax. It's restless. I'm wound up in the inside. I can't shut it down. I just feel restless. And I think, you know, we all acknowledge that our body needs rest physically. But I want to say today that our soul also needs rest. It's not just about resting your body. We need to learn how to find rest for our soul so that we can deal with this restlessness. So here's the first question. Where do we find rest for our souls? Where do we find rest for our souls? And what I'm about to say, I know sounds like the typical pastor answer, or the preacher answer, or the, what I'm supposed to say as your pastor, but don't miss that this is absolutely true. It's not just the typical pastor answer. This is truth, and this is the only truth about finding rest for your soul. Our souls find rest in God alone. Our souls find rest in God alone. David says in Psalm 62, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. My soul will only find rest in God and in God alone, which means no person, no thing, no dream home, no vacation, no resort, no spa, no amount of money can bring rest to my soul. My soul finds rest in God alone. Augustine said, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our soul is restless until it finds rest in you. God created us for Him. And there is a hole inside of us that we can try to fill with everything this world has to offer. And it will always be restless because our soul will only find true rest, true peace, and true contentment and in God and in God alone. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus puts it like this. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. All of you that are anxious, that are stressed, that are tired, that are exhausted, that don't know how you're going to face another day. You're carrying these heavy burdens. You've got these challenges. It feels like it's weighing you down and killing you. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. And he's not talking about your physical body. He's talking about your soul. Your soul. Why? Because when you have this restless soul, you're no good to anyone. You're short with the people that you love. And I'm preaching at myself more than anyone because this is one of my weaknesses in life. My wife has constantly told me over years that it's like your body is here. You're physically present, but your mind's not here. Your mind's somewhere else. You're physically here, but your mind is somewhere else. It's because this restlessness and not learning how to still and quiet your soul where you can be fully present and fully there. And you find yourself being short with people and just snapping and you're just restless. You may physically be present, but you're not really present. Jesus goes on to say in verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart and you will find rest for your soul. Rest for your soul. Our soul finds rest in God alone. So here's the next question. How do we find rest in God? How do we find rest in God? If God is the only one that can bring our soul rest, how do we do it? Because the toxins of this world are going to kill us. If we keep breathing it in, it's going to kill us. So how do we truly find rest in God? Let me give you three things today if you really want to learn how to find rest in God and rest for your soul and deal with this restless soul syndrome. First, be still before God. Be still before God. Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Now, let me just state the obvious for a moment. Notice how he doesn't say, be busy and know that I am God. Be anxious and know that I am God. Be worried and know that I am God. Be productive and know that I am God. Be all revved up inside and know that I am God. He says, be still and know that I am God. How many of you ever been around a child that has trouble sitting still? Most of you are laughing because you know my son. He's five. He's full of life. He's full of energy, full of passion. That kid couldn't sit still no matter what. I mean, you could offer him any toy in the world. He just couldn't do it. I mean, he's always moving. He's always on the go. And sometimes as a parent, I don't know if you've ever been there. I hate admitting it. But there's times you're pulling out your hair and you're just saying, just sit still. Just sit still. Just sit still. Just for a second. Just for a second. Just give me 1 minute. Sit still. I don't know if you've ever been there before. But sometimes I think God is up in heaven looking down at us in North County saying, would you just sit still for a minute? Your child doesn't have to be in five different sports and three different arts. Just sit still. Just stop. Just be still just for it. You're killing yourself. See, keeping up with the Joneses in North County, it's a little different. In Orange County, it's all about, you know, the car you drive, the clothes you wear, the plastic surgery you've had done. Here in North County, it's how many activities you can sign your kids up for. I mean, how many things can my child go pro at? I mean, how many things can they do? And we're killing ourselves. We're killing our families. We're killing our marriages because there's no family time anymore because everyone's got something to do, five things a night, every night of the week, and it's just killing us. And God is saying, would you just sit still? Just be still for a moment. And sometimes you've got to command your soul to do this. Psalm 131, verse 2. But I have stilled. I have stilled. I have stilled and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. And here's one of the reasons many of us don't want to be still. Because to be still means you got to confront some issues in your life that you've been avoiding and that you really haven't wanted to deal with. I mean, for years of my life, I kept myself busy because I was fractured. I was broken on the inside. I had issues that I was struggling with. And I knew if I had to sit still, I would be forced to kind of confront some of the stuff in my life that was going to bring up some pain and bring up some emotions. And so I just kept myself busy. I kept myself distracted. I kept running. And my therapist a few years ago asked me a really important question. She said, when you're with your son, do you really feel the emotion of joy, or are you just going through the motions of being a good father? And I love my son. I love being around him. I love being a dad. But I realized that I really wasn't feeling deeply the emotion of joy the way God created me to feel. I was going through motions because I wasn't all there, because I was busy. I was distracted. I was restless. I had a restless soul. See, if you have a restless or fractured soul, the most important discipline you can learn in life is how to be still before God. Just quiet yourself before God. Learn the power of meditation, scripture meditation. The Bible says those who meditate on his word, on scripture, are like trees planted on the riverbank. They will bear fruit each season of life. See, that word meditate in the Hebrew connotates sucking the marrow out of the bone. That's what God wants you to do with his word, with scripture. He wants you to suck the marrow out of it. Just ingest all the nutrients. Just keep sucking on it till you get everything out of it. Just take that scripture and meditate on it. Let it sink deeply, deeply inside of you. And it'll change your life. Be still, be still. And I know so many people say, well, you don't understand. I've got so much going on. I'm spinning plates. I'm juggling balls. I'm jumping through hoops. I mean, my life is a mess. I can't sit still. Somebody right now is posting something on Facebook that's really, really important. And I've got to go check it out. I don't have time to be still. Let me say, you don't have time to not be still. You don't have the time to not be still in your life. Be still before God. Second thing you need to learn how to do is wait for God. Wait for God. You be still, then you wait. Psalm 37, verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. See, some of you don't even like waiting for me to say something. You know, we are so impatient, and I'm the worst. I mean, my prayer so often is, God, give me patience and give it to me now. I don't have time to wait. I need the patience now. Come on, snap, snap, let's go. I mean, we are just so impatient. We need to learn how to just open up his word and just wait for him. I love Andy Stanley, a pastor in Atlanta. He says it like this. He goes, what he does is he gets up early in the morning. He just gets out his Bible and he just begins to read and he just waits until God says something to him. And then when God speaks to him, he just stops and meditates on it. And he says sometimes it happens in the first verse. Sometimes it's a couple chapters. But he just gets the word and he just reads and he just waits until God says something. And then he just meditates on that. Listen to me, God will take care of the rest of the world while you take a few minutes to wait on him. It's not going to fall apart without you. It'll keep spinning. It'll keep happening. Psalm 130, verse 5, the Bible says, I wait for the Lord. What waits? My soul waits. My soul waits. And in his word, I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Now, how does a watchman watch for the morning? If you were a sentry or a watchman of this time period, you would basically be stationed on the night shift and you would watch for the morning. And when morning came, when the sunlight broke night, it would basically mean your shift was over and you could go rest. You could get off duty and you could go do your thing. So how does a watchman wait for morning? Expectingly. Why does he wait expectingly? Because the sun came up yesterday, it's going to come up tomorrow. The sun came up last week. The sun came up a year ago. The sun keeps coming up. Every day the sun comes up. So he waits expecting the sun to come up because the sun has come up every day. The sun is never missed. It's always up. Every morning the sun comes up. And so he waits expectingly. That's how we're to wait on God, to know that just as the sun comes up every single day, God will show up if we wait on him. We don't have to worry. We don't have to stress. We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to try to figure it out on our own. All we have to do is wait like the watchman who knows that the sun will come up. This nighttime will not last forever. I will wait on God as the watchman waits on day, because God will show up just as the sun comes up every day. Wait on God. And then the last thing that I really want you to learn how to do is reflect on God's goodness. Reflect on God's goodness. Don't just think about what has to be done. Think about what God has already done. Think about God's goodness. Psalm 116, verse 7, let my soul be at rest. My soul be at rest again. Why? Because the Lord has been good to me. Has been. This is past tense. My soul can be at rest in God. Why? Because he has been good to me. And if he has been good to me, then he will be good to me. Because God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. That's what we just read. He will be king forever and ever. And if he was good to me yesterday, then he will be good to me tomorrow. That's why my soul can be at rest in him. I don't need to worry about how he's going to take care of tomorrow, because I was confident because he took care of yesterday. I can be at rest in him. You know, as I was putting this together, I had the thought, you know, about a year ago, I was facing a challenge in my life that I was all stressed out about. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was facing a challenge that I was all stressed out about. A year ago, I was facing a challenge that I was all stressed out. 2 years ago, I remember facing a challenge that I was all stressed. 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago. I mean, literally, it goes back like 20, every year, it seems like as long as I'm a human, there's going to be a challenge that's going to tempt me to get stressed out. And you know what? 20 years ago, God took care of it, and I'm still here. 19 years ago, God took care of it, and I'm still here. 18, 17, all the way down. God took care of it yesterday. So what am I so stressed out about? If he did it yesterday, he'll do it today. He'll do it tomorrow. My soul finds rest in him. Because he has been good to me. Reflect on his goodness. Verse 8, he has saved me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. And so I walk in the Lord's presence as long as I live here on earth. You see, during this 21 days, this season of life, what I'm really learning, because this is a weakness of mine. I don't like to sit still. I like to be always doing something. So I'm really learning how to quiet my soul right now, how to really wait on God and stop and just meditate on what he's done. He has been so good to me. I look back on my life. I don't deserve anything I have today. Everything I have is based on his grace and his love. And he has been so good to me. So don't worry about tomorrow, because he's already there. He's already there. And because he was faithful yesterday, he's going to be faithful tomorrow. So here's the truth. You can be productive and fruitful in life and still, at the same time, be calm and still. You don't have to trade one for the other. So again, we are not a body with a soul. We are a soul with a body. And let me say this. If Satan can't make you bad, his next best option is to make you busy. If Satan can't tempt you with sin, the next best thing he can get you with is busyness. Because Satan knows the busier he makes you, the more he's going to destroy your marriage, the more he's going to destroy your relationship with your kids, the more he's going to just disconnect you from God. You have to fight busyness. You've got to fight it. You've got to fight to find time where you can just be still before God, where you can wait on him, where you have time to reflect on God's goodness. And so what I want to do today, since this is a very practical message, this is not just some spiritual nice message, Pastor, it was good. No, this is something that we're doing as a church practically. Just as you detox physically, this is something we're doing spiritually. And I know oftentimes, you know, at the end of a message, people are going to be on their way. There's a game coming up today. There's lunch. There's different things going on. And oftentimes you'll forget to immediately apply a message like this. And then it'll be a week later and you keep saying, well, I should have done something about it. So we're going to start today. I'm just going to take the next 5 minutes and I want to begin to teach you how to be still before God and wait for God. And for the next 5 minutes, we're just going to begin to apply this message right now. What I want you to do is I just want you to close your eyes for a moment. Just close your eyes. And for the next 5 minutes, let's just be still before God. Let's just wait for him and just let him minister to you. Let him just breathe hope into you, breathe life into you. Let him just speak to you. Let's just be still before him for the next few minutes. Just keep your eyes closed for just a moment. Before we leave today, I want to invite anybody here this morning who needs to take the first step in your soul finding rest. And that's our soul finds rest in God and God alone. And you may be here today checking out Christianity, visiting our church, and you've never made a personal decision to put God first in your life, to really live for Him. And what you need to know about God is He doesn't want to be your religion. He wants to be your Father. So it's not about religion. It's about serving a living God who loves you, that's full of grace. And He said, the only way to come to me is through my Son, Jesus Christ. And so I want to invite you to say yes to Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life so that He can become the Savior of your life. You can't accept Jesus as your Savior. You can only accept Jesus as your Lord. Lord means boss, ruler, leader. And if you accept Him as your Lord, He will become your Savior. And the reason I say that is because if God's not first on your list, God's not on your list. Don't fool yourself. You can't squeeze God into second place or third place or fourth place. He's either first or He's not on your list. He's either the Lord of your life or He's not. And so if you're here today and you really want to find rest for your soul because you feel empty, the reason you feel empty is because you were created for God. And until you have that relationship with God, you're going to feel disconnected, discontent. Until you really feel connected to the person that created you. And so if you need to say yes to Him today, or today you may be somebody who at one point in your life you really felt close to God, but today you just kind of feel separated away, you need to hear God saying loud and clearly to you this morning, it's time for you to come home. It's time for you to come home. I want you home. I want you home is what God is saying to you. So if you need to say yes to God today for the very first time, or you just need to come back home, I'm going to invite you to pray with me. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. You don't even need to pray this out loud. You can pray this in your heart. But if you're here with us today and you would say, that's me, with every eye closed, would you just slip up your hand and say, that's me. I'd like to pray with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The prayer is simple. Again, you can pray this in your heart. In your own words, would you just invite God to take first place in your life? Just say, God, I surrender to you. I want you to be first in my life. The second part of the prayer is just asking God to forgive you. We've all made mistakes in our life. We've all sinned, missed the mark. So would you just say, God, will you forgive me? And if you ask Him that today, He will absolutely say yes. So just say, God, will you forgive me? And then the last part of that prayer is just say thank you. Would you just say thank you to God for this incredible gift He's given you today? Just thank you, God. You can look up for just a moment. If you prayed with us today, on the connection card in your worship guide, there's two boxes. One says, I'm committing my life to Christ. One says, I'm renewing my commitment to Christ. If you pray today, I want to encourage you to take one more step on your own. Check the box that applies to you. Drop it off in one of the boxes as you leave. What we want to do is we want to pray for you. We want to support you. We just want to be that support that you need. We also have books outside that say, now what? It's a great question. I put God first in my life today. Now what? What do I do next? This book's free. It's short. It'll walk you through the next step. Even better than that, I invite you to join me tonight for dinner at 5:00. If you are part of our church and you have never taken the Discover 201 class, I invite you to come. Those of you that raised your hand prayed, I especially invite you to come tonight to the 201 class. 5:00, we've got dinner, we've got childcare, we've got dinner for your children. 201 is the essentials of Christianity. What are the four key essentials you need to do to serve God, to follow God, to really put Him first in your life? I want to invite you to come tonight to the 201 class. And if you've been in our church for a while and you've never taken 201, it'd be great for you to know the four key essentials that we teach to help you disciple people in your small group, people in relationship with you, just a key class. And then lastly, if you don't have a hard copy of the Bible, we'd love you to take a Bible today. This book will change your life. It'll breathe life into you. You've got the reading plan. You can join us today. It's powerful. There's nothing more life-changing. There's nothing better that we can give you than a Bible. We have plenty. We give hundreds away every year. It's our greatest honor as a church just to give away Bibles. Would you stand with me? We're going to close today, and we're going to sing that hymn that we just meditated to in closing. And after we're done singing, you can be dismissed. But just really find that peace as we sing this song.